going to start with a couple of readings. The first reading is going to be our scripture reading. I'm reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. This will probably be very familiar to almost everyone. This is coming from the New Revised Standard Version with the most updated edition. Hear now these words. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. Time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. May we add meaning and understanding to the reading of these words. I also want to share just a quick quote with you from award-winning American author Octavia E. Butler, who says, "All that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. God is change." Meditation, however you want to receive it. We're going to stretch that out a little bit more, give ourselves a little more space for reflection. So for those who aren't familiar, it'll last for about a minute or so of silence before we go into some more meditative type of music. My message today is entitled, Make That Change. So at a worship committee meeting about a week ago, the subject of change came up, and it reminded me that that I'm a little bit different than some folks. You see, I actually like change. But it turns out there is a lot of folks who find change to be somewhat, if not highly, undesirable. And that goes for both unexpected changes as well as expected changes. But honestly, I've actually always found that difficult to understand. I mean, if we're not pleased with how things are or who we are, even, we need to experience change in order to live a better life, to expand our spirituality, to find greater happiness, to help create a better world. It's just a reality of life. In order to have a better life, our current life has to be transformed, be changed. And it's true even down, believe it or not, to the cellular level. You see, every 80 days or so, our bodies replace 30 trillion cells every 80 days or so. That's practically the equivalent of an entirely new you. Life, it would seem, only truly exists within the context of change. That's certainly true of our spiritual lives. A healthy spiritual life is about constantly striving to grow into a more compassionate, more caring person who offers their unique gifts in the service of a larger world. That's impossible without change. Change offers us the possibility of growing even beyond our current limitations into the fullness of our divine potential. I remember my first year serving as a head of minister. As you may recognize by now, I hardly know how to give a talk and not do a little bit of stepping on toes from time to time. Well, I had been doing a little toe-stepping on this one particular Sunday, frankly, even on my own toes. And then after the service, a church member came up to me and said, "I don't come to church to feel bad about myself. I come to church to feel good about myself." While it is true we don't like having our toes stepped on, I suspect that the person's complaint was more about the fact that we don't like having to change. When we are told we need to, we're likely to say something like, "I don't come here to feel bad about myself. I come here to feel good about myself." That particular person on that particular Sunday quickly walked off before I had a chance to respond. And if I had a chance to respond, I'd like to think that I would say something like this. It's not meant as a judgment on who we are today as much as an encouragement about who we can be tomorrow. And that can mean change. I do understand that being asked to change can feel bad, but if we want a better tomorrow to be better than today, not just for ourselves, but for others as well, there's always going to be change involved. So we have to always be working on change so that we can grow spiritually. It's nice. It's nice to be made to feel good about ourselves, but if I am doing my job, if I am helping us grow spiritually, that also means that I have no choice. I have to ask us to change. I hope that we all can learn to not feel bad about being asked to change or having change happen to us, but instead to be a little bit inspired by it, rather than hearing the call to improve not only our own lives, but also the lives of others, rather than hearing that as a stumbling block to living the life we have today, I hope that we can continue to learn to hear it as a goal for living a more spiritually satisfying tomorrow. All right. want to talk about change. Let's just do a little experiment, okay? Just figure ourselves out. Let's try this together. I want everyone to take your hands and interlace your fingers one by one. Now, notice which pinky is on the bottom for me, okay? Either your right or your left. Now, undo your hands and interlace them again with the other pinky on the bottom. Notice how different that feels. You can take them apart now. The only thing that's different in your life in this experiment is just the order of your fingers. Yet, for most people, this new way of having your hands together feels awkward. Some people can only tolerate this sort of awkward feeling very briefly and will quickly laugh and they kind of undo their hands and go, okay, that just felt a little too uncomfortable. That was weird. Here's the thing. Statistically, most spiritual growth regarding theology and our understanding of reality happens when some difficult event forces us to reassess beliefs that, until that time, have been pretty comfortable for us. That is to say, most people will not willingly enter into a process of rethinking how they view the world. It is only when the world seems to be sort of turned on its head that the need for change is typically even acknowledged. In other words, the change is often triggered when the cost of not changing is too high or when reality no longer seems comfortable again. I would guess that you, if you're like most people, are comfortable enough in your current spiritual place. But the reality is that most of us are not totally satisfied with our lives. The reality is we won't change. When we stop for a moment and we really think about it, truly think about it, we can see many things in our lives that we would like to have changed. In particular, most of us would like to experience more good in our lives and practice more good in our lives. And many of us would like to expand our consciousness beyond its present narrow boundaries, to enter into a sort of greater understanding of the world around us and our connectedness to each other and to a higher spiritual reality. That being the case, why is it that for most of us we haven't seen greater change in ourselves over the past several years? I submit that it goes back to that hand clasping experiment. It seems to me that we need to more fully admit the reality that while there is definitely part of ourselves that wants to change, there's another part of us that simply does not want to change because it feels kind of weird and uncomfortable. At some point, we must admit that we are more comfortable with what we know than we are with what could be. Even if what could be has the potential to make things even better. Now, logically, it doesn't make any sense. I know. It just doesn't make any sense. But emotionally, it does. Emotionally, it feels safe. It feels knowable. It feels comfortable. Today's scripture reading is full of tension. Birth, death, killing, healing, laughing, weeping, mourning, dancing, love, hate, war, peace. It's interesting to me that we tend to think of this as a comforting scripture. I think we tend to miss what King Solomon is saying in these verses. Now, that's also important to point out. This is not the voice of God. This is the voice of King Solomon. Yeah, a wise, but also very human.
I actually believe that this is a lament.
He ties together all of these tensions with the refrain, a time for. Time for birth and death, a time for killing and healing, a time for laughing and weeping, a time for mourning and dance, time for love and hate, a time for war and peace. With the constant refrain of a time for, followed by the two things that stand in tension of each other. This sounds to me to be a lament about the inescapable and timeless reality of life being full of tension, of discomfort. It's no wonder we cling to the known, to the knowable, the controllable, the comfortable. I mean, after all, according to Solomon, the inescapable reality of life is that we shift back and forth between tensions constantly. According to Solomon, change is inevitable. Now, traditional interpretations of these verses focus on the way that they celebrate seasons of life. I disagree. Personally, I don't think we should celebrate seasons of death, seasons of killing, seasons of war. And I don't think Solomon did either. I think these texts are less about the need for the seasons of life and more about the need to learn to accept and skillfully navigate change because of the reality of these seasons of life. And here's the uncomfortable part of that. It means actively seeking out change in time. Actively. Because unless we practice, we can't get better at learning to accept and skillfully navigate change. Which I would argue is a necessary skill set to live a good life because, as I said earlier, life itself is about change. And as Solomon suggests, the constantly shifting tensions of life can overwhelm us if we don't learn to accept and skillfully navigate change. The way that I see things, spirituality is no different than life itself. As we've mentioned a few times today, life is about change. But like we talked about, there is something within us that doesn't want to change. It's weird. Feels uncomfortable. In many ways, it's a sign that we are out of harmony with the reality of life that Solomon was pointing to. And I'd argue that because of it, we are a bit separated from living life as fully as we should. And that, my friends, is a spiritual issue. Kind of on the side note, the word hell comes from an old English word meaning to be walled off from or separated from. Since life is about change, and we frequently don't want to change, in those times life can feel hellish because we are choosing to wall ourselves off from the fullness of life. But if we're willing to change, that puts us in more harmony with life, and the word harmony actually comes from the same root word as heaven. So at least in part, the difference between heaven and hell here on earth in this life is whether we are in harmony with life. And life means change. So spirituality means having a deep willingness to change. Now, let us not make the mistake of thinking that this always means some giant monumental change. I mean, sure, at times it's about monumental change. But in some ways, monumental changes are easy. We just have to gather up our courage and let it happen. What is difficult is day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, having an openness, a willingness to bring about little changes that ultimately add up to big change. Spirituality means change. It means recognizing that all of life is about change. It means wanting a better life for ourselves and others, and moment by moment, being willing to make changes that lead to it. Or, as Octavia Butler put it, all that you touch changes you. All that you touch, you change. All that you change changes you. The only thing that lasts is change. God is change. Thank you. Stay awake. I'm not sure how good of a job I did during the sermon, but I am Teddy. I am very worried about what I have to say next. Let's bow our heads together. We confess that all too frequently we allow our fears to eat up our lives. We hear the calling to go and do, but our hesitations and concerns get the best of us. Our need to protect what we have and who we hope to be get in the way of who we could be. We are our own biggest obstacle in life at times. Even as we are encouraged to take all risks as long as they are founded in love, we seem to prefer to cling to the past, to the known, to the comfortable, to the safe. We see them, rather than love and possibility, as blessed assurance, assuring us that things will not change, assuring us that the relative comfort of now can be ours forever. What we don't see is that what they really assure is that we get stuck, that we don't grow, that we don't truly experience this life as it should be. Fear. Fear is the motivator, the limitation, the excuse. It holds us back. Fear is a lie that we tell ourselves. May we learn to leave it behind. May we learn that with love, the endings are only new beginnings, and they grow us not only spiritually, but closer to others, and that, in the end, creates a better world. Amen. Seek this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may your life be full of happiness and joy. And may your words and your actions share that happiness and joy with all of those you meet.
So Jim's feel good song. Nat King Cole's version of it, I do.
Nice.
The Sunny Side of the Street.
Nice.
Yeah.